It's time for Seminole Headlines featuring WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron, managing editor Ira Schofel, and senior writer Corey Clark. Your weekly dose of all things FSU, pistols, and pies starts right now. Here's Jeff Cameron.
The Seminole Headlines 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV begins right now. And it's another version, a different version. They're always different these days, guys. If you're watching on War Chant TV, don't forget to like and subscribe and share. Let others find the love. All that good stuff. And if you're listening on 93.3, thanks a lot for that. We always appreciate it as well. Just Corey and I today. Should be a lot of fun. It's all we need.
That's all anybody needs,
really. That's all we need. That's all anybody needs. Two of us. The hour, as always, brought to you by our friends at Register Sausage. Yay, sausage! Which we've got a minor reason to celebrate, finally, besides the goodness that is Register Sausage. Registersmeat.com, right? Mm. Is that right?
Right, yeah, Register Meat. Well, yeah. What's the reason to celebrate?
We got an offensive lineman.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Dimitri Emmanuel.
Yeah.
He said yes, and he's going to be here, and he's a guy that's played a ton of football, and Atkins knows him,
yep.
Obviously, because he was at Charlotte. Played a lot of different positions, meaning along the offensive line. And basically, is it not true that every offensive lineman that transferred here or transfers here is immediately the best offensive lineman we have? It feels that way.
Well,
like,
right.
Every time we get somebody, we're like, oh, I thought Bless Harris was being brought in to be a backup. Clearly, he's got to start.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I mean, Gibbons clearly had to start, was the best guy we had. This guy's probably going to start.
Well, before we get into that, Jeff, I think we need to address the elephant in the room. Or the elephant not in the room.
And that's Ira. I was going to bring it up.
You know, Ira not being here. He's being a good dad, right? It's not like he's sick. Don't worry about that. No personal issues. It's just...
He's fine.
He's taking his daughter. His daughter has great friends, apparently, that bought her tickets to her favorite band, and they just happen to be in Miami. So Ira was driving two of his daughters to Miami to go watch this band. And so he could not be with us today, so we'll try to carry the torch without him. Won't be too difficult.
You know how, and we love you, Ira, of course. You know how...
But if there was one person to be missing, clearly.
Yeah, you really did luck out.
Guys, you got real lucky.
You did, yeah. That was the right guy to have to go. No, I was going to say that, you know how I'm such a music snob, that I immediately, I'm like, suspect this band.
Right.
I have a suspicion it's a terrible band.
Oh, I don't know the name. He told me the name. I never heard of him.
It's just a guess.
Yeah. It's a name I never heard of. They might be like indie rock. They might be right up your alley. Well, it might be a Bowie cover band.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Probably not.
Yeah.
No.
His daughter's favorite band is a Bowie cover band. That's that her friends
bought her tickets to in Miami. Yeah.
It's amazing.
And she's 20. Of course.
This is impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I doubt it. We'll get to a million questions today. Actually, you guys did a good job. You brought it. There are a lot of questions, not just willy-nilly. A lot of questions.
On Facebook, you mean?
No, Twitter, too.
Oh, Ira solicited Twitter questions?
He did.
Oh, look at
him. No, I already kind of went through a lot of these.
Okay,
I'm pleased. I'm really pleased. Corey, you're getting the love you so desperately need and deserve.
That I'm looking skinny?
People notice that you've lost some weight.
Yeah, about 17, 18 pounds,
woo!
And it's firming up into sweet, thick muscle.
Well, we used to talk about how if you stop drinking soda, and then you were a booze hound for years.
Yeah, that ultra gets you.
Out of control. With the amount of ultras on a nightly basis while watching Netflix?
Yeah, but not anymore. Now it's
I go
to vodka,
right?
Water. I'm being responsible.
I just went to
the straight liquor.
Are you really doing the liquor with
and
the
And I got my Mio's.
Drops?
I threw my Mio's in my water because I hate the taste of regular water. So, yeah, it's working out.
I don't think that's true. You don't actually hate the
Nobody
taste.
Hates the taste of water. It's
right.
Like hating bread. It just bores me to death, and it has no taste, and I don't enjoy it. That's all.
This water's boring. So when you played sports way back when? You didn't love just to guzzle water at the end of a practice?
Pop open a Coke. It might have been why my athletic career was stunted when I was 15.
All right, so we haven't spoken since it happened, but what a disaster. I feel like every time we talk about Florida State, it's a freaking disaster. It pisses me off to no end. I get back from Tampa after the Lightning win, and they did again last night.
Right.
Swept that ass, get you some Florida. Anyhow, I get back, and... I'm like, the last thing on earth I'm worried about is the softball team.
Sure.
I'm not worried about the softball team, Corey. I've assumed rightfully that they're just rolling on.
They've
the
earned
river.
It.
There's no reason for me to worry about them. They're like 109-2 over the last 111 games. I'm like, I got no reason to worry about them. I want to check this baseball team and just see how bad that we are. I'm going back to look at highlights, and of course they get swept, taking ass kicking. We'll get to them momentarily, but then I'm like. Well, let's see how the softball team did. I know they run-ruled USF. Let me double-check this, because I'm always checking in.
Sure, right, I know.
Yeah, and then I look. What is this nonsense?
Yeah.
Were you there?
I was there Saturday for the run-rule, I was not there on Sunday, which might have been the issue. I wasn't there for that, and
you let
them
down.
Yeah, yeah, man, it was crazy. They were 32-0 against non-conference teams before that day.
Yeah,
it's just crazy how one bad day, and it was a bad day, but this is the reality of postseason sports, right? Or postseason life. Think of think of the Panthers. Didn't they have the best record in the NHL?
So this happened.
Got swept.
Yeah, by the Suns. Lightning. I mean, it happens.
But the Phoenix Suns had the best record in the NBA. They got swept. Postseason is so hard to predict.
No, there's no. It's not true.
But it is. With the softball team, there was no predictors that would think they would
right,
kind of fold on
what
after what they'd done all season.
It is stunning. The level there's not the balance of competition in women's softball that there is in many other sports. It's better than women's basketball, but it's not. There's not a ton of teams that would do that. That's a collapse.
Yeah.
And I love this Florida State team, this program, and the success they've had under Lonnie Alameda. We know. That's why we take it for granted, because they've been that good. It doesn't happen. That's a 25-loss Mississippi State team.
Right.
That's a choke.
Yeah.
They choke.
Yeah, they
folded. There's no getting around that.
And especially the first game, losing 5-0. I mean, I don't know what that was about. That's when you got to just step on the throat and end the regional. Once it got to that second game, well, there's a lot of pressure on you then.
That's what I think, and I said yesterday on the show that it begins to shift. Like, all of a sudden, the expectations become a burden.
Yes.
There's a weight. We felt that at Hauser before with Florida State baseball, where they'll win 50 games in a season. They had the number one offense in the country. I mean, we're going back a ways now.
Sure.
But where they were a dominant team, and then you get into a situation where you're like, one day, one game, winner take all, and it's baseball. The guy on the hill can dictate terms. If somebody comes in here and he's dotting corners, you're going to lose. It's going to happen. Like, Houston Street's going to send your ass home. Like, that kind of stuff is heartbreaking, and it happens, but it shifts when you let somebody hang around. And I guess maybe there were telltale signs. You correctly pointed it out in your article on warchant.com. It wasn't like just because they broke the record for wins in a season and win percentage and all of that, that they were the juggernaut they've been other years. They had a better record.
Well, they weren't run rolling almost anybody at all. Like, they were all close games.
They had a ton. The ACC tournament was crazy. Yeah. They gave up a gazillion runs. They had to beat people 9-7 and stuff like that. So maybe there were indicators that this wasn't the same type of team, but you still don't expect to lose at home in a regional with Mississippi State at 32-25. Not any good.
Yeah.
And that's crazy.
And I pointed this out before, but the year they won the national championship, I mean, it's not just cakewalks getting out of the regional. Even when you're really good, and that team was really good, you know, they won a game in that regional on a walk-off inside the park home run.
Yeah.
Like, that's how they that was 1-0. So it's not like they screamed through that regional, too. But, yeah, this one was just – especially when you got the lead early in that second game, and then it just – you slowly start seeing it melt away, and the better team lost. That happens in the postseason.
Yeah.
The crazy stuff at first base, leaving early twice, cost you at least a run probably, if because that would have been a – you'd had a second, third, nobody out.
Right.
Instead, you have nobody on base and one out.
Right.
I mean, that's a huge shift in
a close
game. So it's stuff like that happens. But, yeah, I felt bad for that. And, you know – it just was such a cool season. It was such a cool team to cheer for. You felt really bad about it.
Eminently likable.
Yeah.
And she's all class, and somebody brought it up in the chat here. It's true. We brought this up yesterday, but I feel the need to point it out again. If I'm going to be critical of the collapse, hey, look, they've been so good. It's the reason that we're all in shock that it happened.
Yeah, and they've been good in the postseason.
Yeah, they've been really good.
Last year, they went on a crazy run in the postseason with all these players.
They gave Oklahoma a run for their money,
yeah.
And that team is loaded, as we know. And, of course, they've won a national championship, all that. That's all a given. And she's all class. After that loss, she's at the dais. She's having the conversation. She gave all the credit in the world to Mississippi State. She didn't blame the umpires.
Right.
You know, she was asked about it not once but twice. She refused. She deflected. That's a hard press conference to do because you know you came up well short of your goals.
Yeah.
They should have won. They know that. Those poor girls are crying on either side of her. That's hard to watch, hard to listen to, hard to see. Felt bad for her. She does an amazing job. But damn it, man, it feels like it's in the long line of many just running kicks to the cojones these days. It's like somebody's going to ask us a question later on that we're going to get into in the second hour about FSU, if FSU sports teams were stocks.
Well, I still think softball's – softball's still high.
Yeah, but we don't think basketball is. We know baseball isn't, and football hasn't done a damn thing in some time.
Right, but women's golf is in the national quarterfinals, Jeff.
The men start this week, and I'm excited about that as well, yes.
And the soccer team won a national championship. Track
but then lost
seems to
their
be
coach
pretty good.
Immediately
well, of
following.
Course they did. Look,
yeah,
there's some stuff going on.
I'm just saying, the stocks are plummeting, man.
Yeah, I know.
It's not fun.
Yeah, the softball was the one that was supposed to get us through the next 2 weeks. You know, at least get to Oklahoma City and have something to cheer for and watch. And That didn't happen, which is a bummer.
So let's segue to what won't get us through the next 2 weeks, or according to baseball rules, maybe it will. Dude, you got four RPI games. The head coach, Mike Martin Jr., tells everybody, I have a feeling it won't be the last time we see these great fans at Hauser after they win the series against Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. You ain't coming back here.
Nope.
That's sorry-ass run of four games in which you fell flat on your face.
Not unless you're matched up with a four seed that happens to win a regional and you get to host them.
Brutal. Mm. Brutal. And now you're not even getting – I mean, your starting pitchers in three games gave you a robust 10 innings total.
Yeah, in which six they by gave one up, guy.
Yeah, and they gave you 10 runs in those 10 innings.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, obviously terrible and not better in other areas because the offense didn't make up for it at all, and we thought they had awakened against Miami. No. What's weird.
What's interesting, though, is that, you know, they struck out like 11 times the whole series. The Florida State baseball team did?
Put the ball in play, huh?
Yeah, they struck out four times in that 11-0 loss.
It's a stunning turn of events.
Well, right,
how
but
often they strike
at
out.
Least they're putting the ball in play. Like that, they're not touching home anymore often, but at least they're still last in the ACC
in
runs
scored. Hey, we put it in play,
guys.
A bit, guys.
Only four strikeouts.
The standard's no longer Omaha or bust. It's like, can we put it in play?
Can it put it in play? Make them make a play.
Can we hit the ball?
Just
a
weak ground ball to second instead of a strikeout.
I think the frustration that people feel, and I'll ask about it, and we'll get to it in a bit. I have noticed that people are frustrated by there are guys that have regressed. And that's the hard part. It is hard because you have such hope for, like, let's say Lacy, somebody like that, right? I would use him as an example.
He was good last year.
Really good. And you figure he takes a step forward, right?
Yeah. Nope.
No. Your stars are the really young kids, which may be a good sign.
Or maybe they regress like Lacy and Reese Albert did.
That is, well, Reese, you have to think, has just never been the same from the shoulder. I mean, he's got zero power.
Clearly.
Yeah, I mean, clearly that shoulder is
I watched untenable. Just to remind myself of the better times, I watched the regional against Georgia from 2019. Not the whole regional, just the highlights of it. And he hit a home run to left field to lead off a game.
Yes.
Against
no
a really
chance.
Good pitcher.
No chance.
An opposite field home run. That dude had legitimate, pretty jaw-dropping power. I watched him in batting practice. It exploded off his bat.
Yeah, the bomb hit against LSU to make the difference there. Well, and he did it on a bad shoulder there, too. It's not there
at all anymore, and now he's barely getting in the lineup. So, yeah, they got real issues, and not, you know, you're losing Messick, you're losing Hubbard, so you wonder about next year, too. But, yeah, that was a disaster of a week.
So they lose all four, twice on a walk-off, back-to-back walk-offs.
I thought those two games they played well. I mean, what do you do? Wyatt Crowell's been great for you.
I know.
He got squeezed a little bit, didn't make a play when needed to be made, and then they were down to their final strike.
You can harken back to the Armstrong kid being brought in.
That was weird. I don't know what was going on there, but Crowell comes in and pitches well, and then gives up a bomb when you have the lead. Armstrong, at least it was tied. But I thought they played well in those two games. They got down 4-0 in that game.
Yeah, that's
North Carolina
a game where you can
back.
Say baseball being baseball happens.
But then you would have liked your ace to come out and dominate the next day.
Thanks
that didn't
one
happen.
Inning. Thanks for the one inning.
No, that was Hubbard.
Oh, no, Hubbard gave you one.
Yeah, Messick gave up four runs. Yeah. But, they just not didn't all click this weekend, Jeff. It was a bummer, and now you just – but now look. What's so goofy about these sports, what if Florida State does get hot and wins a regional?
You won't be stunned.
No, but it's like, did they have a better season than the softball team? That's what's so weird about – because they've been so up and down.
But people love to pick and choose the way they decide what's a good season and not. They're going to tell you that the softball team had a great season and just got really unlucky. Let her do it again.
Then you start having to answer some questions.
People start getting really
What are we
angry.
Doing here, Lonnie? What are we doing? Can we get Oklahoma assistant coach here? Somebody knows how to win?
That's when it starts getting ugly. You can win all the games you want. Hey, I said to Tennessee fans – the unreal season that baseball program is having out of nowhere. That program's having a season for the age. I'm like, well, doesn't matter, guys. If you don't win at all, it's like it never happened, according to Florida State fans. Doesn't exist.
Yeah.
What's the bother?
Those 4 months weren't even –
doesn't
even
matter.
Didn't
that
happen.
Journey didn't take you anywhere but into the side of a wall if you come up short, pal. All right, we'll get to Florida State's new commitment in a second. It's Dimitri Emmanuel. We've talked about him for, I feel like, 10-14 days now.
Yeah.
It's finally happened. We'll talk a little bit about his impact and where Florida State's at. We're starting to get some numbers that I want to go over and have some fun with this, too, because it's the off season and you can get the look ahead lines. You know, I'm a gambler, Corey.
I remember that.
And there's some things here that I find fascinating. Some of them relate to Florida State, some not so much. But we'll get into all that this hour and then get to headliner questions in the second hour. It's Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV.
Ho, 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 horizons.
It took
Bar and Grill.
It took all the strength I had not to interrupt you, turn off your mic, and go home.
Do you like how I closed my eyes when I sang?
Believe me, that was the best part.
I didn't look at it, thankfully.
It was unbelievable. He looked like Al Jarreau or something. Luther Vandross.
Well, he was making sure it was there. I want to apologize to Horizon Sports Bar and Grill. Their delicious food should not be overlooked by Corey's singing.
Man, that's a great jingle,
from
gang.
The restaurant itself. But Horizon's Bar and Grill is where, Ira?
Bannerman Crossing.
You're damn right it is.
Northeast Tallahassee, off Thomasville Road and Bannerman Road. It's man, it's just incredible food, incredible people, incredible beer.
It's spirits. Where we are a lot.
Hey, before the end of the week, fellas, any week, like you could be listening to this 6 weeks from now. Let's all get together at Horizons Bar and Grill.
We're there a lot. We really are. So if you want to see this in person, this trio
never
in person.
Never mind the food. You get to see the three of us.
But yeah, the food and the drinks, the patio, it's all good, man. It's all working.
And if you sing the theme song, they'll give you some free food, I think.
I think you get the bill is paid for if you sing the song. But you have to sing it like I do.
And tell them Corey's thinking.
With a bar tab.
Yes,
it's amazing.
Correct. It's incredible.
It just keeps growing. They're so kind.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
So it's fascinating. We'll get into more questions today than we normally do, partly because it's just a two-man show today, but also it's freaking May. It's
right.
It's late May, and you know.
So the audience is the third person today. You guys are filling in for Ira.
Yeah, and we'll have fun with this. I'll look at both the chat and the Twitter, and well, I should say I'll look at all three, Facebook as well. So we've got all of these, and we'll get to them. But first, I mentioned a moment ago that Charlotte offensive lineman, formerly of Charlotte, Dimitri Emmanuel, announcing that he is transferring to Florida State. He's 6'2", 6'3", 305, 310 pounds, depending on where you look. And, of course, he's worked with Alex Atkins before, and he's a guy that has played tackle and guard and center and everything else. So a lot of experience. I think it's if you go back, and you know, a lot of times.
What do you think he's coming into play? What do you think they pegged him as? You think they need help at tackle? You think he's going to be a guard?
Well,
and move Washington
first of all,
to tackle?
First of all, I think he's a guard. I don't think he's a tackle.
But then that means they want Washington or just depth.
Yeah.
In case something happens, they have to move Darius to tackle.
I believe you just find five that are better than the five you have at all costs. They haven't had. Now, they have since recruited a tackle. We know that. But you don't want to start freshman.
Right.
So, you know, for years, we've kind of had to play guards as tackles because we didn't have actual tackles. But at the end of the day, you just need plus players along the offensive front, and they haven't had that in a long time either. So they're just going to have a competition, and the best five are going to go out there, regardless if they project as a tackle or not, to a certain extent. Now, they already know Scott's a tackle.
Yeah.
You have him locked in.
Gibbons is a guard. I assume, is a center, maybe a guard, but probably a center.
We're hoping he wins the starting center's job so that Maurice doesn't have to start.
And then it's Washington, either guard tackle, this kid at guard tackle, and then Bless Harris is a tackle. So those are your six, you feel, with Maurice Smith, if you want to throw him in there. Those are the seven.
Seven guys.
You have seven guys, and this kid's 23 years old. He started 24 straight games at one point for Charlotte up until the middle of last season. So, yeah, man, he's at worst, he's depth. And at best, he's better than what you had at a certain position, and he makes you better. Probably not significantly better. He's not a second-round pick or anything, but he can make your offensive line better than it was going to be 5 days ago.
If you look at the – this isn't the be-all, end-all, but if you look at the PFF rankings, and Ira pointed this out, but if you do, he's an upgrade for Florida State. I when I look at him, he looks like he's very good in pass pro.
It's hard to know, though, because is he blocking kids from Miami and Clemson?
Correct.
No.
He looks fine in pass pro. Yeah. I don't think he's a dominant run blocker, but the bottom line is they've been so bad for so long up front. If you can find a level of decent, can we get to medium? I mean, he can maybe play center for us. I don't doubt that. That's a possibility. They've got to do something better than what they had. I mean, you know, in the second half of last season, bless his heart, he fought like hell, and he's pretty athletic, but he's so tiny. Maurice was just getting thrown into the backfield.
Well, yeah, and him,
that wasn't competitive.
And Devontae Love Taylor wasn't good at all last year because of his injury too. So.
Yeah.
You had two guys that were really weak links, and those should be upgraded. So, you know, and last year the offensive line was at times troubling, other times average, which was much better than it was 2 years before that, right?
Aspire to be average.
Yeah. Just
get me to average because you got a quarterback that can make the first guy miss.
Yeah.
And I think the way they call the game, obviously, they do a good job of finding ways to run the football. The quarterback helps with that as well. But to try to create some balance. Now, I don't think this is going to be – like the more that the offseason has kind of been allowed to sink in, and I've thought back on what we witnessed in the spring, I still don't think this is a very good offense. I still don't think that they're like, are they middling in the ACC?
Are they? Let's hope that would be an improvement. If they get to, you know, fifth or sixth in the ACC, that's an extra 4 or 5 points, which is probably an extra win or two.
Which is everything in a year where you're aspiring to get to 8 wins. I mean, those 50-50 games, of which there are a lot on this schedule, you have to hope just being middling in the ACC on offense, if they can get to that place. If a guy like this helps you just get to middling in the ACC, maybe an extra win is the difference between 7-5 and 8-4, certainly 6-6 and 7-5, something like that, maybe.
You remember the scene in Moneyball? It was in the book, too, but when he talks about, we've got to get this amount of runs to get to 92 wins, and he breaks it all down. I feel like Florida State's offense, you have to get to 385 points on the season, 385 to 400 points. If you do that, that should be enough of an upgrade to get you to 7 or 8 wins, just by the sheer math, and the defense should be decent.
Yeah, I think the defense is going to be okay.
So, but you've got to find a way to get to 380 to 400 points, and last year you did not. Last year, I think you were probably 310 points. So you got to go find 70 points. You got to go find 10 extra touchdowns.
It's funny to watch The
and Duquesne will help. Duquesne will help that.
You might get 60 points in that first game.
Yeah, there you go.
That changes everything.
Just shut it. Just shift down now.
It's funny to listen to or look at the lines of questions that we're getting because of the bitter disappointment of the way that softball ended. Obviously, baseball doesn't go into the postseason on a
tough
roll.
Tough week on the diamond. After a really good week, the week before with the ACC championship and the Miami series.
But you know, the football team hasn't been good in some time.
Correct.
There's just, you know, the soccer team is great. Lost the coach that made them great.
Right.
There's a lot of feeling of dread. I know how embittered you are by the lack of the ability for that sand volleyball team to
get over the hump.
What are we waiting on here, guys?
This is like Bowden in the early 90s.
It's like a Martin thing.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here?
Come on, Brooke, Niles.
Bridesmaid.
Get it together.
Yeah. So, you know, unless we come in here and lead with track.
Yeah, and even then, when it was last, they haven't won one since Dix was around. Walter Dix retired from track years ago.
God, he was fast, Corey.
He was.
There was a time. Yeah.
But did you ever, like, I stood on the infield when he ran 100. Run, oh, my gosh, that's something to see in person.
Watching any of those guys to run, like, really run.
When they run by you.
Well, they're so finely tuned. Their bodies are, like, not unlike the way that drivers understand cars, like that everything has to be just right. You know, they always have the massage therapist and everybody around. Like, they know every part of what has to be in line for them to run a time of that magnitude.
Yeah.
And because the difference is, you know, obviously we're talking about 0.0, you know, it's crazy. So, you know, when you watch guys like that, you could just tell that they're in better touch with their bodies than anybody else is.
Than we are with ours.
Well, yeah.
And I mean, look at this.
I mean, think about the 17 pounds you've lost.
Yeah.
And you're miles from being in touch with your body.
Correct.
By way of comparison to Walter Dix.
Yeah.
So that's what you aspire to.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get.
At some point, you could feel about your body and be in tune with your body the way that world-class sprinters are with theirs.
They have over 50 sprints, right? Don't they have these track meets for over 50 folks?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you and I are
going to
be.
I'm not going to. I hate track. I ran track and field in high school, but
I know you did.
I hate it.
I'm going to do the pole vault.
I always thought that'd be fun, but
I think the first couple would be really scary.
Yeah,
because I feel like I'd go backwards. I'd land on my head.
Land on your head, kill yourself, stab yourself.
That too, yeah.
I want to throw the javelin.
And just impale someone.
Oh, well, I've just always wanted to throw the javelin. That seems like a lot of fun.
That seems a lot more fun than almost anything else on a track.
You've actually seen the videos, have you not, of people being speared by javelins?
Oh, they're great.
It's fantastic.
Because they stick in their back.
Yeah, you're like, look at that. That guy got caught with the javelin. I would never willy-nilly wander
through a javelin of meat?
It's strange to me that that happens.
Through a javelin event? Like,
I saw one guy get one through the stomach and out the other side. Yeah. That's
toughie. What?
Yeah.
You saw a man killed.
Lived.
Oh, wow.
Impaled and lived.
Okay, that's a good story.
I wasn't in person for it, but you can find it online.
Yeah, what are they doing? Like, oh, there's a little grasshopper. Let me bend down.
Move along, little buddy.
Oh, holy, my arm.
Like that sound, the death raining from above, that as it's coming, that has to be the worst.
Yeah.
The
What's that? What's that coming up? it's right in my sternum. Yeah.
This is a toughie.
The javelin, man.
See where the show goes when we don't have FSU to fall back on?
We got, you know, you're right. We got questions, though. We got questions, and we got the softball team to kill.
24 games for Charlotte in three seasons. Emmanuel, his first year as a starter in 2019, 2019 came under Alex Atkins' tutelage, as noted on warchant.com. And, you know, look, again, versatility is big there. He started games both at guard and tackle, and his pass protection grades are pretty good, especially by way of comparison to the other offensive linemen that we have PFF grades four.
Well, and you like that Atkins has worked with him, so he knows what he's getting. Like, this isn't like a just a Hail Mary, Marcus Cushney type signing. Let's see what this guy can do. We have no real idea. You know, Atkins has now been here, what has he been here, 2 years? 2 years he's coached here, right?
Well, yeah.
So he knows that, and he remembers this kid from when he coached him in 19 when he's the third team all-conference.
And we both love Atkins and think he's a really good coach.
So he knows this kid can help him. Otherwise, he wouldn't be bringing him in.
You and I were talking a moment ago about what the offensive line looks like. Here's a projection. Here you go. Let's have some fun with this. Robert Scott, we think, starts.
Yeah.
He's not a plus player. He's got to get a lot better. This is my estimation. I'm just throwing that out there. Darius Washington returns. I think he probably starts. Probably.
At guard or at tackle?
Guard.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Dylan Gibbons, we know, starts.
Yep.
I think Caden Lyles probably starts at center.
So that interior, that's could be 950 pounds.
Could be pretty good.
At least.
Bless Harris starts at tackle on the other side.
Or this kid. Or this kid is backing up.
This kid will be the other swing guard guy. Or the center.
So he'll be the swing, though, that can, if somebody goes down, he can replace either one of the guards.
So I'm going to guess that Smith doesn't start.
Yeah.
How about this? Let's have fun with this. This is fun, guys. Let's put Caden Lyles at guard.
Oh, all right.
Let's put this kid at center.
Why do we think this kid's going to play center?
I'm hoping he can play center. It's just
all right. But Darius Washington can play center. They actually played him at center.
All right. So you want Darius Washington at center? You want Dylan Gibbons at guard? Caden Lyles at guard? Robert Scott at tackle? Bless Harris at the other tackle? So this kid is just a backup.
I feel like he's depth. But he's a guy, he could start. Like, it's not like he won't. The beauty for him is, it's not like he's coming into where these jobs are entrenched. You know, he's going to have the ability to compete for a starting spot. And that's going to make whoever he's competing with better. Legitimately, it's not just five dudes that can play. Now you've got six and a half.
Well, you just have to be able to withstand injury. That is a position where guys get hurt.
Yeah,
it is a big deal. I don't want to gloss over it as if it's not. I get depressed.
This kid will be better than a hurt Dylan Gibbons. You know what I mean? Like, if Dylan Gibbons is on one ankle, this kid is better than that.
Yeah.
Would not have been the case. You needed Dylan Gibbons with no ankles.
So I was noting that this is another good way to get depressed. I was looking at, because I couldn't believe this, as an aside, USC is actually favored. This is a look-ahead line, Corey. I'd jump on this if I were you, by the way.
Okay.
Southern Cal is
actually... though? There's no way to gamble legally in Florida.
Yeah, but you just have to talk to people. There are people that I can put you in touch
with. Thank you.
But here's the thing, man. So the USC, if you just go... Let's say you go by the SP Plus. You know, big fan of SP Plus.
Yeah.
So let's... Or if you wanted to look at somebody else's metrics.
Standards and procedures? Is that the SP?
You could Bill Connelly's SP Plus. Go look at that and project what USC's going to be. Now, again, he's now accounted for this influx of talent at USC, right? And then you look at a team like Utah. So Utah, who won the Pac-12 a year ago, and if you had been watching the college sports book, you would have known to bet on them to do so.
Right.
Because this guy told you to at plus 800.
Yeah.
Anyhow... Point would be, if you take, let's say, Action Network's metrics and say, what's the line supposed to be between USC and Utah? Believe me, this is FSU related. I'll get back to it. The answer is that it would be somewhere between 15 points that Utah would be favored by, maybe even 18.
Really?
Yeah, because Utah's really good, and they've had continuity, and they had one of the best 20 offenses in the country and a returning quarterback, and USC's defense on a 4-8 team was one of the worst defenses in the country.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Well, they won four games last year. So now's the time where everybody gets, you know, I think, enamored with fresh faces, rightfully so. And they go, oh, well, they, you know, Lincoln Riley's there
that
now.
That offense is going to have a huge upgrade.
They're
going to
score a ton of points, right? They are a lot better, what they've brought in. But, man, when I was looking at all of the other stuff on their defense, I thought, oh, they're dreadful. But then I looked at the list of names that they have brought in at USC, and I thought about their transfer portal guys and our transfer portal guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, one's probably going to win the Heisman. The other one's the best receiver in the country.
Mm.
They brought in an elite running back, an offensive lineman that's elite, another receiver that was already better than anybody we have, brought him in the transfer portal as well. There, I guess the point would be there are nine players. They brought in 14. There are nine, all of whom are infinitely superior to a single one of our transfer portal guys.
Yeah, well, they don't have to take projects. They take a Biletnikoff winner.
They
get a Biletnikoff winner. Yeah.
They went 4-8.
But isn't that, honestly, I like Mike Norvell a lot. There's a chance he can get this thing done. His offense for 2 years isn't something that Jordan Addison is appealing to Jordan Addison. Lincoln Riley's offense is appealing to Jordan Addison
and
Caleb
Williams.
But
it's frustrating because Lincoln Riley hasn't won a playoff game. Lincoln Riley hasn't. I mean,
all he does is produce first round picks and Heisman winners.
No, I get it.
So
get
that
it.
That's the difference. And like, of course, Caleb Williams wants to go with him.
No.
And that's why he went to Oklahoma in the first place. And that's why Jordan Addison, he knows he's going to go catch 100 balls for 1,800 yards. And I mean, you just look at these numbers with Florida State, and it's just tracking.
My point would be that it's not fruitless. It's just that you really are settling, and it's always relative, of course. But we're excited today because we got.
Kid from Charlotte.
A kid from Charlotte.
Yeah. Hey, man, it's a wake-up call.
It's a toughie. It's a damn toughie, I tell you. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
No Ira today. He's away being dad down in South Florida. In the interim, Corey and I will hold it down. I agree, Dan Squatch. I think that, I'm here for the ride. Getting a 23-year-old with experience at center is huge for interior depth. We've got six offensive linemen as freshmen. We've got to bridge the gap until they catch up in the weight room. I was making this point on yesterday's show that we've got to get out of this just vicious cycle of starting kids before they're mentally and physically ready to play. You can get away with it sometimes with the skill positions. If kids really fast, runs a 4.240, and he can jump and catch, then you can put him out there as a freshman. But the offensive line is no place for a kid to be thrust into action too soon, because it's not just the physical beatdown that they take that affects them down the line, by the way. You see, they end up, I think, being prone to injury in their sophomore, junior years because of the beating they take their freshman year if you play them. And then secondly, the impact it has on them emotionally, mentally, it's brutal. You begin to – your confidence wanes. Think about it. It's just, if some guy across from you who's a redshirt junior at NC State, that he's been in that weight program, he's lifting, he's eating, presumably, if they're trying to win, he's on steroids, he's doing everything in his power, he's just manhandling your ass. Now, you were dominant if you came here as an offensive lineman when you were in high school. You were probably dominant because of your surely because of your size. You were just able to push people around. That's not the way it works when you get to big-time college football. Everybody's big. Everybody's strong. At that point, technique matters. At that point, you know, you got to be even stronger and smarter. And you get thrown around like that, it affects you moving forward. And we've watched this Florida State offensive line be beat down and beat down and beat down. And they surely understand. They're ridiculed around every turn. They get made fun of on College Game Day every week. They preview a Florida State game if they even bother.
Right.
And certainly they know locally, Jeff Cameron's going to rip their ass all the time.
Amen to that.
That's right, baby. So Tough Love Cameron has tried to come in here, but there's only so much I can do for you.
They don't like Tough Love Cameron. They have not responded well. They're not like whoever that closer was that was lights out.
Yeah. So what are you going to do, man? What are you going to do? So, yes, I agree. Getting somebody to come in here that has all that experience, size, and strength, it will help this team, and I shouldn't poo-poo it. And I am happy they got him. It just gets depressing when you start doing comparisons to where we want to be, where we should be, where we're certainly not.
Yeah, and you'd think, okay, but again, this offensive line will be better than it was last year, right? Like, you didn't lose anybody but DLT, who wasn't good anyway last year because of the injury.
Yeah.
So you're going to be better than you were last year, and that's all you can try to do. You can't go from below average to great, but you can go from below average to average or slightly above average if these guys develop, if Robert Scott gets better, if Darius Washington takes another step, if Caden Lyles becomes something. You could be maybe even a little bit above average, and then maybe the next step is you're good. Like, those things can happen.
It's true.
This is the first step up the stairs, or the second step up the stairs.
No, when there's a complete rebuild, when you're in the midst of it, It's hard to be patient. It can be intellectually, you can know that's what this is. You can tell yourself that. I've championed that, talked about that at length. But when you're mired in it, it gets hard because you really, you don't feel like you're asking for much. You're in the sorry ass ACC, and you can't finish above 500.
And that too, like that tells you more than even the transfers you're bringing in. It's like, yeah, man, you haven't had a winning season in 5 years. Like that's troubling. But or 4 years. I guess did they have one in 17? Didn't they?
I lose track.
I think beating Southern Miss gave them a winning record. That didn't feel like a winning.
What a big moment.
Well, in Shreveport. That was the last great moment in the Florida State run.
And you got to go celebrate it.
I did, with the pig on the roof at the barn.
What a day that
was. It was 12 degrees.
Were there any goats?
I mean, there are always goats rolling around in Shreveport, probably.
That's the best part of Shreveport.
Well, the Hustler Club was closed. That was a bummer when we were there. I don't know if it was closed because it was the holidays.
You were racing to get there, yeah.
Well, it was right across from the team hotel, which is always
the Hustler Club.
Yeah, the Hustler Club was. And the team hotel was the casino. Not a good one. They were playing War. I think they had War as one of the games.
Go Fish.
They had a Go Fish dealer. It's good stuff. It was a different kind of casino.
Yeah.
But I think these are the necessary steps to get to be a good program. Like, you got to bring in depth. Like, theoretically, you want the kid from Georgia, not the kid from Lamar, at tackle. But you got the kid from Lamar, which is maybe an upgrade of what you were going to have. Not a significant one, but an upgrade. You've brought in 11 transfers now. Don't we think all 11, at least 10 of the 11, are going to be part of the plan?
You and me and Ira and Gene, I think we did this exercise where we took a look at the transfer portal kids that they've brought in, and the vast majority of them not only were upgrades, they were kids that we think are going to start.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I agree.
Yeah, two of these three linemen will probably start.
Yeah, and they've done a good job of finding upgrades.
It kind of is a realistic slap in the face, though, or a wake-up call, like I said, of how bad it has been. That these guys, are all projects. None of these guys are proven except Winston Wright, who isn't maybe going to play.
But there's good news on that front, and some people have pointed it out. He has posted about the comeback and his efforts to get back in shape and be ready to go, that he's making great progress. I saw a video on his Instagram, I guess it was, that somebody sent to me of him working out in the pool and catching footballs in the pool and all that. I mean, I know it's the pool, but hey, he's working out. He seems hell-bent on trying to make a splash in what he calls his money year.
What a pun.
You like that?
Yeah.
I was just going to keep it going to see.
Oh, man. I caught it. Yeah.
You're here. It was for you. You know, I know how much you love those. So, he's trying to get back and having an impactful year. Listen, can you do it by the LSU game? Can you get here by the LSU game? Can you be ready to go for fall camp?
Man. You hope. We'll see.
I mean, I don't know the extent of his
injuries. He's in a pool. He's not showing you running on grass, so that's not the best sign in the world. But he's rehabbing. He's busting his butt. He's going to try to get there. And even if you get a half season out of him, that could really, if he's at full speed, that could really help. But will he be? So that's just another bummer. Because that was the guy. Him and Bethune.
Well, Bethune looked great, and he's going to be fine.
We're the two proven dudes that have done it at this type of level before. All the other ones, Verse, Pittman, Johnny Wilson, I think they're guys that are better than what they had or what we're going to have, and they have the potential to be really good, but nothing's proven yet on a Division I football field.
R.A. Andrews writes, and this is funny, gentlemen, is the softball loss directly related to somebody tweeting FSU was number one in women's Director's Cup points?
Yeah, really. They're probably not anymore, I wouldn't think.
They also did RA go on to say, when the new baseball stadium is built, Hauser will be a great place for softball.
They got to do something with the baseball, just the whole vibe there, man. The whole vibe at baseball's got to be, it's got to be shaken up. I watch these games in the SEC, and they're madhouses. And then you watch it at Hauser, and they're not.
I brought it up years ago. I mean, I don't know what you can do. I mean, do you want to euthanize?
I mean,
we've got a lot of elderly in the stands. They've lived a good, long life.
No, I'm certainly not advocating for that. My mom is
them to beat their fate.
No,
I understand.
No, I want them to keep coming to games.
But you want to sit them out in the outfield? Let's create a seat for them way away from the main concourse.
No, I'm not saying that either. I'm saying that you
want to put a pillow over their head.
You would like to appeal to maybe a younger demographic as well. get the students there. The students aren't ever there.
I'll tell you one way to do that is not charge $8 for a beer.
Yeah, the students probably aren't. Or let them bring in their own
straight liquor.
Yeah.
Just walking around main concourse.
Yeah.
Sneak
it in like we did back in the day with football games, man. Like, yeah, do that. Just make it more appealing to students.
No, I know. It's depressing. That stadium's
been depressing
for a long time.
It would be great if they would move it to their Mural Fields right in front of College Town. That'd be a really cool vibe. It'd be like the Braves stadiums now with the battery.
No, I agree. I've said before that it's become an exercise, speaking of frustration, and depressing moment after moment in watching the postseason these days, because it used to be that you would look out there and you'd occasionally see a stadium that you thought, ah, a little envious of their stadium. That's pretty nice. Like, I always relished in the fact that, you know, in the 90s, that this was a place that was thought of as being one of the cathedrals of college baseball, one of the great places, right?
You know, Friday, Saturday night, it was electric.
It was crazy, right?
It was electric.
But it's been a long time since it's been electric.
Yeah.
Been a long time since it's been fun. Been a long time since that stadium looked fresh. It's a dump. Mm. It's a dump. Standing water and rust.
Yeah.
Giant fans with cobwebs.
Yep. But a great video board, though. Best video board in the business. That's all I'm saying.
Don't look under the stadium either. It's flooding.
No. Just so concentrate on that video board.
The video board and no stats.
Get no stats.
Just a whole lot of that guy standing there.
Picture of Jonas Scolaro staring
baby.
At you.
Yeah. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Mark, what do you guys, Mark writes, what do you guys make of Jimbo calling Saban a narcissist? Kind of ironic. At least Norvell stays professional. Saban, Jimbo, and Dabo need to jump in a camper together and head to counseling. That's from Mark. Thanks, Mark. Thanks for the contribution as well.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, we laughed at this, and it's ongoing. You know, the interview that Jimbo gave with a San Antonio television station where he doubled down and said, no, he's not going to accept Nick's apology and all that. That's fine.
He also said he checked and only one of his players had an NIL deal. Do you believe that? I like
sure
number one that he checked. I like that now after running his mouth for 10 minutes, he went and checked, and it's like, oh, we only got one guy. Come on, man.
I think that if he said it, it can be technically, if there's a plausible deniability of some kind, there's a way that he could prove that to be true.
What do you think of Florida State's recruiting class, including portal guys? You think they only got one that's got an NIL deal?
Well, we were late to the game. I don't know how many guys do. I mean, no, there's plenty
I'm
of guys.
I'm guessing there's more. We know Jared Verse has because he came out to the War Chant thing.
Yeah.
There are more. There's more than one. That's what I'm saying. That's why it's so disingenuous.
Oh,
crazy.
I don't know.
And I don't understand why he's so defensive about it, buddy.
Because,
you're
again,
playing with the rules.
That is ego. It takes away the credit that he would get for just being an elite recruiter. Like, if he could take credit for bringing those players in a way that didn't involve money.
We already know he's an elite recruiter. Like, he's proven it. Like, buddy.
Yeah, that is one thing we all agree on, is he can really recruit.
Yeah, and that's been evident everywhere he's been.
Yeah.
So, we know you're a great recruiter, Jimbo, and you're a pretty darn good football coach. It's just weird that he was so defensive.
He is and he isn't. There's some weirdness to that, too. We both agree on that as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. There are plenty of players that have NIL deals here. I'm sure there are more than Did he mean of that class they just brought in?
Who knows?
Who knows? The technicality there. I'm really done with that, though. It doesn't matter. It doesn't concern us at this point. I mean, yeah, it's fun. It carries the day. Yes, it's relevant because we know Jimbo really well. But because I just feel like that's an argument happening in a different league on a different level. And I would love for us to be accused of cheating. I'd love for us to be accused.
How about that? Yeah.
I would love for us
to get all these players
from. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want somebody to look at Florida State's roster and go, what the hell is going on here? They haven't had a winning season in 4 years.
Got nine, five stars?
What is this? What is Mike Norvell doing? That's right. He's cheating his ass off. That's what he's doing.
Do
something
about it.
What are you going to do about it, NCAA?
Nothing.
You got nothing. So, I mean, I'd love for that to be the case.
That's when you know you're back, when people start accusing. Ain't nobody accusing Florida State of cheating now.
They're like, when is Florida State going to start wake up and start cheating?
Did they stop cheating?
They clearly gave it up. They gave up the ghost. What happened? The administration want to go Ivy League?
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
Crazy. Aren't they trying to win games?
No, it's funny. I mean, Mark is Matt here. Let me get to these questions here before we go to break. Alan's Matt. Jeff, enough with the negativity concerning the football team. They are going to be better, maybe even a lot better. I am a longtime listener and love everything War Chant. It's getting old. Wait, you can't handle me, Alan? Can't handle me pointing out that we're not really good and that we're not going to be really good this year? Come on, Alan.
I'm with you, Alan. I think they can be better.
Come on, Alan. Buck up, baby.
They can get to 8 wins, man, and that's a
positive.
No,
he said really good, maybe even a lot better.
We'll see.
What's a lot, Alan?
We'll see.
Type it in the chat, Alan. What's a lot?
We'll see what they can be.
What's a lot better?
9-4.
So we got a bowl win in there.
We're going to throw a bowl win in there, or maybe an ACC championship loss.
What?
Loss. They get to the game and lose. But yeah, I do think there's a chance I mean, look, man, they were 6-6 team last year, and
they went 5-7, Corey.
I know, but I refuse to count the last seven seconds of that game. They were a 6-6 team ish, and I think they should be better than that. And if they're not better than that, there is a problem.
They could be better than that and not have an appreciably better record because the schedule is hard.
Well,
you add LSU to the schedule. You're on the road from Miami. Florida beat you last year, and they weren't any good. And
you know what I'd like you to do would be a good exercise is go back last year and look at the over-under win totals for the teams on that schedule in, like, June, and then do the same thing with this schedule.
Okay,
because
so
I bet
look
they're
ahead
pretty,
from a year ago.
I bet they're pretty similar. Like, LSU's – I know it's LSU, but they're a 6.5 over-under. Florida's 6.5. Clemson's probably lower than they were last year. I mean, I think it's...
No, you think Clemson's lower than the 10... Oh, what
the last
projected.
Year. Yeah, but last year they probably were 10.5.
Yeah.
So I think when you look at the schedule in May, it's probably about similar. The issue you have is you are facing...
A ton of veteran
some
quarterbacks.
Good quarterbacks, man. And that kid at Miami really throws a wrench into things because he was... He's
Dude, Van Dyke is good.
Yeah,
you're going to lose that game.
He was... you don't know that. He might get hurt. And he was really kind of just... spiraling on their bench, and then they went to that kid, and all of a sudden, is he a first-round pick? Great. You just found him on your bench?
What the hell were they doing previous? What practices were they watching?
I have no idea. It's crazy. He comes in and looks like Jim Kelly. But, they 8 wins
listen,
is certainly
just,
on the
I'm
table.
I'm just being pragmatic. I'm just being a realist. I'm not telling you that I'm not here for the ride, that I can't stand it, that I think Norvell's the wrong guy. I don't think that. I like Mike Norvell. I think he's a good football coach. It is hard to go through all of this. They could be better. I think they probably will be better. I don't think they have a lot of wiggle room. I don't think they're very deep.
Well, yeah.
It's a very physical game. People get hurt.
Yeah, they aren't. And good teams aren't very deep, and that's the issue. LSU and Louisville tell us everything.
We'll get to the headliner questions forthcoming. Stay with us. Simple Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.